Complain and remain. Complain and remain. We've been talking about problems and how to deal with problems for the past couple of Friday nights. And again, I kind of had another direction. The Lord just apprehended me and gave me this message for tonight. I don't want to try to sound overly spiritual when I say that, because really my pattern is I'm kind of a series guy and I like to know where I'm going and just kind of lay a series out there. But I'm also want to be attuned to the Holy Ghost and do what He says. But we understand that when we have problems, and we've talked about this, when we have problems, our attitude makes all the difference. We said some pretty amazing things. We said that problems are what? Oh, come on now. Problems are what? Opportunities for a miracle. And so, you know, losers look at problems as something to run from, flee from. Winners see a problem and they go, hey, here is an opportunity to find an answer, to trust God, to see a breakthrough come. And so problems are part of life. Now, I do not suggest to get up and claim problems, because you're going to have enough of them without claiming them. But when they show up, you must have the right attitude. Now, the wrong attitude is complain. And every one of us have been guilty at some time or the other of complaining. Probably some of you are already perfected, hallelujah, and you're not complainers. But I know in my life when I have a problem, there's times where I want to complain, and you know what? All it does is dig the hole deeper. But when I complain, I remain. But when I turn that around and I begin to approach it as we've been talking about, hey, here's an opportunity. I'm stretched beyond myself here now. I can trust in Jesus. And Jesus will give me a plan. Jesus will give me a strategy. And Jesus will help me to possess my promised land. All right, chapter 21. Numbers 21, go to verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And I want you to mark this. The soul of the people was much discouraged, or some versions say grieved, because of the way. Have you ever been discouraged or grieved because of the way that you're experiencing? Maybe you've lost your job. We've had those testimonies. Maybe there's a relationship that's strained. Or maybe you're behind financially and things aren't working out like you had hoped or planned. And so your soul becomes discouraged. Verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Everybody say, don't do that. Amen. Now it's interesting that it says against God and against Moses. You know, we really can't get directly at God, so we go picking on the preacher. Let's get the preacher because he ain't meeting my needs. He's not preaching my favorite sermons. I left him a message. He didn't call me back on time. You know, where is that preacher? And so typically in church work, you'll see this. It may not be the preacher. They may be out of sorts with, you know, a prayer group leader or somebody on the worship team or somebody that they think ought to meet their need. I want everybody to say this out loud. God alone is my source. And so you know what? The preacher's not your source. The care leader, the Bible study leader's not your source. I mean, they can be used by God, but we got to get things straight. God's the source. And you married people, I want to tell you something. Your husband is not your source. Oh, I didn't get an amen on that one. I said your husband is not your source. God is your source. Your wife is not the sole answer to all of your needs. And the problem is, so often in a marriage, we get offended. We get out of sorts with our spouse because she wasn't sensitive to my need. She didn't stroke me when I came through the door. After all I've been through this week, laying my life down for her, you would expect a little romance in my marriage. Or whatever it is. And people start complaining. People start picking at one another. And you know what? That's an indication. I want you to write this down in your own shorthand. When you start complaining about someone, it's an indication that your eyes are off your source. When you're out of sorts with someone, or you're offended, or you're accusing them, it's an indication that your eyes are really off your one true source. Now that doesn't mean that you can't address problems and sit down and say, you know, I need your input, I need your attention. But you do it from a posture not of demanding, but of realizing God's my source and we need to have our relationship here worked out. It's an entirely different approach. Verse 5. The people spake against God and against Moses, And here's what they said. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Well, that's a bad confession already, isn't it? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. We're tired of manna. That's what they were saying. Everybody say manna. Now, you know, they'd cook manna every way they could cook it. I mean, they had banana cakes, banana bread, manna banana. I mean, they had manna every which way you could do it, you know. And they said, we're tired of the stuff. You know, we want something else. Now, verse 6 is an amazing verse. Thank God we live in the New Testament. Amen? It says, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And much people of Israel died. Please write this in your notes. Murmuring and complaining equals death. Murmuring and complaining really leads to death, spiritually speaking. It's just going to dig your hole deeper. It's not going to help you. That's why I entitled this, Complain and Remain. Have you noticed that in your life when you get into that complaining mode? I mean, you know, you want people to join you, don't you? You want them to come in to sing that sorry song. And there's been times I've gone in and told Martha, you know, I'm telling you what, I've had it. Everybody say, I've had it. I have just had it, you know, and I'm ying, 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 ying. And she'll respond with, well, you know, you just need to trust God and get your eyes back on the Lord. And it's kind of like, that's not what I want to hear. It's like she's got rivers of living water just coming out of her. And I'm just getting wet and I'm just like wanting to put my umbrella up. Boom, I don't want any of that living water right now. I just want to enjoy my misery. And I wish you'd get miserable with me. Anybody out there know what I'm talking about? Well, it opens the door to serpents, or I think New Testament-wise, that's symbolic as that verse that Linda read about putting our feet on serpents. That's symbolic of opening the door to the devil, opening the door to the enemy. Now, we know God doesn't send devils out and dispatch devils. God dispatches angels. Amen. But I'll tell you what, there's devils on assignment. There's a good old book called Angels on Assignment, but I got news for you, there's devils on assignment. And these devils are looking for open doors in our lives. What are some open doors? Well, unconfessed sin is an open door. I could take you to scripture after scripture on that. Being offended with someone and not clearing that up before the sun goes down gives place to the devil. And you write this down and never forget it. Murmuring and complaining opens the door to the enemy. Murmuring and complaining opens the door to the enemy. So I tell you what, just for the sake of self-survival, you ought to just say, I'm going to cut out the murmuring and complaining. And when you find your mind going that way, when you find your tongue going that way, and all of us will, there'll be times it comes, here comes that problem, and our first natural fleshy reaction is to go that way. We got to remember this story and say, whoa, whoa, wait a minute, I'm going to shut the door on the serpents. I'm going to shut the door on the enemy. And instead of murmuring and complaining, I'm going to start giving thanks to God. Write that down. The opposite is giving God thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. I'll tell you what, we had a very nice week this week. We got to go, you know, on the 4th of July up to the mountains, and we sat in an inner tube coming down the river. Here we come down the river, just sitting in the inner tube. I'm telling you folks, it was tough, but somebody's got to go there and do it. Amen. And so here we come just floating down the Chattahoochee. That was so fun. So I really only had about 2 days back in the office, but I want to tell you, it was two hellacious days. Two hellacious days. In the sense of just junk, just problems, just crud that the enemy was throwing. And I found myself going in that direction of murmuring and complaining until I caught myself and I said, thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, I was still stressed while I was saying it, but I was saying, thank you, Jesus. Well, Brother Jason, are you thanking Jesus for all the problems? No, I'm thanking Jesus that I'm getting unstressed. I'm thanking Jesus for every one of those problems, there's an answer. I'm thanking Jesus that He's the source of supply for every one of those missionaries. I'm just missionary problems, you know, that we were having to deal with in situations and other items. People in need, people in hospitals, people in tragedies, to the point that I had to remind myself, wait a minute, I'm not their source, God's their source. And that's something we all need to remind ourselves of. Verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. That's pretty good. I want you to underline that. When the serpent showed up, the people said, you know what? I think we sinned. And we're all kind of like that. I mean, the devil starts beating the snot out of us, and it's like we finally go, you know what? I think I need to repent here. We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Now, I wouldn't be a good Bible teacher if I just passed that by lightly. You need, possibly, but this is a principle. You need to repent not only to God, but you need to repent to people perhaps that you've put down or you've complained about, or if they didn't directly know it, then you just need to say, God, forgive me for talking about so-and-so, and shut the door on that. Amen. It's not just good enough to go to God. If you've been picking on somebody, you need to say, God, forgive me for talking about my wife or my husband or my employer. Oh, that's a good one. My employer. Well, Brother Jason, he's not a Christian. I can talk about him. You better shut your mouth. You better shut your mouth. You better shut your mouth. Why? You'll open the door to the enemy in your life. And how can they come to Christ if we're just putting them down? He goes on in verse 7. He says, we have sinned, for we have spoken against thee and against the Lord. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Now that is very significant right there, because there, I believe there's some situations that can never be resolved until you go to a person and you repent and they bless you back. You go to somebody and you repent and you ask for release and they bless you back. And that's true in reverse. There are some people that will never be set free until you release them and you bless them back. I've heard stories before where fathers were abusive to children. And the children held this grudge all through their life, even after becoming a Christian. And they'd be praying for their father to be saved, but to no avail. But when they finally released their father and blessed their father, something was released in the spirit that allowed God to get his people to that man, and then salvation was forthcoming. Are you hearing me? Did you know you can lock people up? You can lock people up that don't understand spiritual things to unlock it for themselves. You get them locked up by the very refusal to release. The opposite is true. Pray for one another that you may be what? Healed. Verse 8, and the Lord spake unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it came to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. I want you to mark that phrase, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Now, you understand this, the very thing that was a curse was put upon a pole, the serpent, and when they looked upon it, and that looking, that's important, circle that, looketh upon it, when they look upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. Can anybody guess what that might be foreshadowing? Jesus was lifted up on the tree, on the cross, and whosoever looketh at him shall what? Live. Verse 9, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, mark this, he lived. Somebody say, thank God. 1 Corinthians 10. A couple more verses, then we want to take some time to pray and minister. Are you getting something out of this? All right, we've been talking about problems. We've been covering a lot of territory. By the way, if you did not get last week's tape on how to turn problems into miracles, I think we have some back there, I'm not sure. But we want you to get that, turning problems into miracles. But one of the keys dealing with problems is this whole issue of complaining, murmuring. Complain and what? Complain and what? Complain and remain. Say it. Complain and remain. Everybody say, confess and possess. What am I going to confess? I'm going to confess the answer. I'm going to confess a thank you, Jesus. I'm going to confess the Word of God, speak the Word of God. I'm going to ask God for wisdom to give me a plan, a strategy to walk through this thing. And I'm going to go through it relying on Him. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Quite an interesting passage. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud. I'd like you to mark the phrase under the cloud. In fact, I'm going to come back and teach on this at some point on a Sunday morning. Under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Underline the phrase through the sea. Everybody say the cloud. And everybody say the sea. Now, these represent two baptisms, by the way. How do you know that, Jason? Because I read verse 2. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. You write this in your notes. This represents water baptism, and it represents baptism in the Spirit. It represents water baptism and baptism in the Spirit. When they went down into the Red Sea, it was a type of going into the waters and coming up on the other side. When the cloud passed over them, that was representative of the Holy Spirit baptizing them or coming upon them. Verse 3, and they did all eat the same spiritual meat. This is a reference to communion. They did all drink the same spiritual drink. Now, this is amazing. This is in your Bible, the Baptist Bible, the Methodist Bible, Charismatic Bible. They drank of the spiritual rock that what? I want you to mark that. They drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was what? Now, did you get that? Did you get that? They're walking through the wilderness, and what does that verse say is following them? A rock. Everybody say a rock. Now, don't ask me how rocks follow people, but I mean, it kind of get my attention if I was walking through the wilderness and a rock was just scooting along the ground. I tell my children, stay away from that rock. That's a weird rock. But it says that rock was Christ, and that rock followed them the whole 40 years through the wilderness. And so they all knew that there was a rock, and that's the rock that Moses hit too many times, by the way. Verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. I want you to mark that. They were overthrown in the wilderness. How many of you realize there's a lot of Christians being overthrown? Hello, are you out there? There's a lot of Christians being overthrown, defeated, discouraged, downcast. They're overthrown. Verse 6, don't miss this. Now these were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So why were they overthrown in the wilderness? They lusted after things they didn't need to mess with. And here are some of them listed. This would make a great study, you know, for a whole series. But notice this, verse 7. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. So, you know, one of the things they did is, remember they worshiped the calf? Remember the golden calf? He says, so don't worship false gods. I'm going to kind of skip here. Look at verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication. So did you know sexual impurity? You listen to me now. If you're a Christian, sexual impurity, because he says these are our examples. So sexual impurity of any kind will block you from receiving God's best. I didn't say it'd keep you out of heaven. There's a lot of people that will make heaven with a lot of problems in their life. But sexual immorality in your life will prevent you from getting into your promised land, which is God's best. And it'll overthrow you in the wilderness and leave you there. Verse 9 says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them were also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. And put a star by verse 10. Here's what we're teaching on. My. Neither murmur ye. Don't murmur. As some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. So, you know, we say, oh my God, I wouldn't be an idolater. No way. Ooh, not a fornicator, not me. I'm redeemed. Wouldn't think about that. In the same list, murmuring. Did you know murmuring can keep you out of receiving God's best if that becomes a habit in your life? If you go through life murmuring, complaining, it locks you into the wilderness, overthrows you in the wilderness, and you never quite get into God's best. God's best for what? Your business? Your family? Your church? Your ministry? Husband-wife relationship, whatever it might be, murmuring and complaining, it's a deadly plague. Treat it just like a poisonous snake. If I were to say, there's a viper loose in here. If you saw, I'm talking about an Egyptian cobra, big one, stand up and go, spread out and its fangs go, like that. And it was coming down the aisle. I wouldn't have to ask you guys to vacate the auditorium. You talk about the charismatic hop, you'd be doing the charismatic hop all the way out the door. Woo! Yeah, you'd be climbing over chairs. Yeah, I feel it. I don't want to feel it. I'm leaving. Now, we understand that about, you know, a physical danger. But I want you to understand that murmuring and complaining is just as poisonous and venomous to your spiritual system as a natural viper would be injecting poison into your natural body. Are you getting that? And so, man, when you get that, you can tell you're going in that murmuring and complaining direction, shut that deal down. You just say to yourself, no, I'm not staying in the wilderness. I'm headed for the promised land. I don't need that. Everybody say, I don't need that. Verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for whose admonition? Say, well, brother, that's the Old Testament. No. Our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands... Somebody says, well, I don't need that. Oh, you need it probably more than anybody. Take heed lest he what? Fall. And here's that classic verse. We'll end with this one. Verse 13. This is a verse you can claim in any situation. There hath no temptation. Can I amplify that? There's no test, trial, problem. There's no challenge taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Can we say that? God is faithful. Say it out loud. He's faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, mark this, but will with the temptation, the test or the trial, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He'll give you the wisdom, the strategy, the plan, the strength to get out of that thing and get into the victory. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, that we do have the victory in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we just choose to shut the door to murmuring and complaining right now. I want everybody in the auditorium, just put your Bibles down and notebooks down, stand to your feet. And I want you to take a moment and ask God to forgive you, cleanse you. If you've been into murmuring, if you've been into complaining over any item, I want you to confess that before God right now. Would you do that just verbally right now? Just have a talk with Jesus. And say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me. And go beyond that. Now I want you to start blessing the people that you murmured and complained about. Say, Lord, I bless my employer. I bless my husband. I bless my wife. I bless my children. You know, whatever's been the stress point that you've been murmuring about, I want you to go beyond. Ask God to forgive you. But now I want you to go beyond that and ask God to bless them and ask God to help them. In Jesus' name. We shut the door. Praise God.